Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. And John chapter 6, and the word of the Lord says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is in the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw, excuse me, his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased or sick or in need. Verse 5 says, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith to Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? He said to prove him, for he himself, Jesus, knew what he was going to do. He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do, the New Living Translation says. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Somebody say a little. ¿Cómo se dice a little en español? Ah, un poquito. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men to sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, and so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves of the bread, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were all filled, somebody say they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. How many believe that the word of the Lord is 100% true? This really did happen. And I want to talk to you this morning on this thought. Beyond the testing is a blessing. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you're about to be blessed. You're about to be blessed. Again, otra vez, una vez más. Hallelujah. Would you lift your voices to the Lord one more time? Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you. We appreciate your goodness, God. This is the day that you have made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it, God. In your name we pray. In your name we pray. Let the church say amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. Our scripture text is also found in Matthew chapter 14. It's also found in Mark chapter 6. In Luke chapter 9, it is the only miracle that is mentioned in all 4 of the Gospels. The feeding of the multitude here in our setting, excuse me, recalls to us the Old Testament miracle of the manna that fell from heaven for the children of Israel while they were in the wilderness, which we understand in Exodus chapter 16. That in itself, Exodus 16 and the manna falling from heaven, and in this scripture setting of John chapter 6, ought to be an encouragement to all of us that the Lord always takes care of his people. Amen. The songwriter even says, even when we aren't seeing it, he's working it out.
Yeah.
Because he's the way maker. That's the God that we serve here today. And Brother Saturn, the psalmist, declares in Psalm 37 and 25, says that I've been young. All the young people say amen.
Amen.
All everybody under 100 say amen.
Amen.
And now I'm old and have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I like this part. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is cursed. Ah, his seed is blessed. All the blessed people say amen. Say amen, somebody. God's resources are infinite. They are never ending. They are unlimited. Ours have a shelf life. Ours expired. We have expired food. We've got expired people. We even got credit cards that expire. But people have limitations, but the blessings of the Lord, he maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow unto them. Sometimes we have things that we work for and we accumulate, but they go out of style. You know, I've had the same haircut for like 6 years. Some of us have had it for 30 years. Things go out of style. You know, your clothes go out of style. They either don't fit, they're too big, or they go out of style. And you hold on to them long enough, you'll either be able to fit in them or they'll come back around and you'll make a lot of money off of them someday. But Jesus had compassion on the multitude of people that came to hear him teach and the minister. It was getting late and time was ticking away, and the bread was going to be broken and then multiplied so that others could be blessed. Notice Matthew 14 and 19, and when he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up into heaven, he blessed and he broke and gave the loaves to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. The bread was broken and distributed so that others could be fed. I want to share something with you. If you're writing or taking notes here this morning, that it's not always about you.
Exactly.
No se trata de ti.
Yeah.
Sometimes the Lord will use you as an example for other people.
Yeah.
How many of you are thankful that you didn't have to go through what Job went through? That's talk about a bad day. It would have been enough for us in a lifetime to go through any one of those things that he went through. But man, Job, and we read in the scripture, he went through some stuff. God is working in us and through us if we allow him. The prophet says in Isaiah 43 and 13, he says, the Lord tells him, I will work, who shall let it? A lot of times we're trying to control the narrative, and we got to remember that the Lord made us from the dust of the earth. He created us. He's got our best intentions in mind, and even unbeknownst to us, there's things that he's doing we're not even aware about right now. There's things that he's doing, moving, he's taking care of, that we prayed about, that we've even forgotten about, the things that we said, oh Lord, I wish that you would just do this, and he said, okay, well, at the right time I'm gonna do it. We got to remember that sometimes God breaks us down so he can bless us.
Yep.
All the broke people say amen. All the broken down people say amen.
Yeah.
Amen. You got it this morning, because if we let him break us down, it's better to allow him to break us down and we humble ourselves. That's why the scripture says, humble yourselves in the sight of God, that he may what? That he may exalt you in, or lift you up in due season. Let's look at the story of Job for a minute. Job chapter 1:1 tells us that there was a man who lived in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. That man was perfect. I know your husband says he's perfect, but this guy was really perfect and upright and one that feared God and avoided evil, it says. And notice this, when God brags on you, the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in all the earth. A perfect and an upright man. One that feareth God and escheweth or avoids evil. This is not even in my notes, but I just feel to say, what does God say about us? They're whiners. Well, you know what he called the children of Israel in the Old Testament? Bunch of stiff-necked people, right? What is he saying about? Because we have names for some people. We don't, you know, oh, they're crybaby. Don't, you know. Right? Remember, we're sinners. And if it wasn't for the love and the mercy and the work of the cross, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, the baptism in his name, the washing away of our, where would we be today? You may have stumbled and fell, but thank the Lord, his mercies are renewed every single morning. Job 1:9 says, Satan answered the Lord. You just take note here this morning. that even the devil is subject unto the Lord.
Right.
And said, doth Job fear God for naught? And we know the rest of the story, as one man would say.
Mm-hmm.
Job 1 and 20 says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head. There you go. You got Bible to shave your head. And fell down upon the ground, and he cried and complained and whined unto the Lord, and said, oh, I'm going to get on Facebook and tell everybody about what people have done to me, and I'm going to write a story about my life and whine and complain, and so everybody could see all the haters be hating on me. And no, Job fell on the ground and he worshiped. I don't know about you, but if I would have went through what Job went through, I'd like to think I could fall down on the ground and worship. But I think there'd be time I wouldn't even be able to worship. I'd be rolling around. I'd be a holy roller for sure. I'd be just rolling on the ground in the dust. But he fell down and worshiped, because he worshiped. The Lord was testing him. The Lord was putting him through something. Aren't you glad that we didn't have to go through what Job went through?
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. It's not always about you, what you've gone through, what you're dealing with, what you're facing. Sometimes he's using that to be a testimony down the road for somebody else, that if God did it for me, if God did it for them, he can do it for you. He can do it for you. He can do it for you. Sometimes it's just a test before the blessing. Notice Job 42 and 2. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to our scripture setting this morning, our text, it teaches us many things, several things, in fact, that I'll talk about. But the Lord was already knowing what he was going to do. Do you ever make a statement, or we've made that statement, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I'm going to do. Time will tell. We'll just see what happens. Well, the Lord, he already knows what he's going to do.
Yeah.
He's got it all figured out.
Yep.
He knows what's happening.
Yep.
He knows what's up. He knows what's going to take place. And it says, and Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him. And he says to Philip, where can we get some bread that these people may eat? And he asked him this because he knew what he was going to do. And notice, Philip answered him and said, 200 pennyworth would... it's not even sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. You know, some people need a whole lot, you know. But he said, even if they had a little, we don't have enough money. And 200 pennyworth in that day would equal to about 200 days worth of work. 200 days wages saved up would have been enough to buy some bread for these folks, because the average day's wage was one denarius or one penny. And so Philip started to assess the probable costs. Philip was about the numbers. He would be the one that was, well, the statistics tell us. The calculation, according to my calculations, the quadratic equation will make you take the same class three times in a row. But it was to him, it was about, well, this is improbable. Philip did what so many of us do, and that's look at things in the realm of the natural.
Right.
Look at things of what it is. But Philip was sure of what could not take place. Philip was certain. He had lost sight of what could not be done. In other words, he had no vision of what could be done. And Jesus was wanting to teach him about that, the financial resources or the materialism or the things that we accumulate are not the most important things in our life. In fact, it's the scripture that tells us in Mark 8 and 36, for what shall it profit a man, for if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Philip clung to the literal sense that no matter how much money we had, it was not going to be sufficient to provide a little to the multitude. But he failed to recognize that the bread of life was there standing with him. That's why James tells us, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. When you look at that word endure, it means the putting of proof by experiment or experience. It's the discipline or the provoking, the provoking provocation of a situation. It's what we understand and we've seen where our faith has been tested in the last 15 months. You may have had a faith crisis in the last 15 months or before that, but in the last 15 months, all of us, our faith has been tested. It has grown. It has been stretched. It has really been put to the test. But the Lord was not only testing the faith of these men, but he was also testing the faithfulness, the endurance, the wondering if they're going to stick it out. Do they believe what I'm about to tell them? And a lot of times the Lord has tested our faith. Do you believe in God? He that believeth in God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We believe that God can anoint pastor, but for God to anoint you, that's a little bit harder to believe. We believe that the Lord could do some things in Brother Bonham's life because he's a man of God. We believe that the Lord can do something in Brother Saturn's life because he's a man of God. But when it comes to me, I'm just somebody that comes to church and I come and go, but the devil is a liar. You are a child of the Most High God. Sometimes the Lord is testing us. He's wanting to see what our faith is like, but also what our faithfulness is like. It's easy to talk big faith, but it's a little bit more difficult when your faith and your is stretched, and then you have faithfulness where you have to walk that path and say, I got faith, but more than having faith, I got to be faithful with my faith. I got to be faithful with what God is entrusting me with. I got to be faithful with serving the Lord, whether I'm in the building, out of the building, online, outside. I got to be faithful with understanding. And the Lord sometimes is saying, I need to test them. I got to put them to the test. I got to see if they can handle long term what I'm about to give them, or will it destroy them? Can they handle the promotion on their job, or will it consume them that they miss out on family time? Will they increase their level of giving,
right,
or just their standard of level of living? Will they compromise their relationship? Will they be faithful to me when it's easier to be unfaithful? Will they trust me, or will they lean on to their own understanding? Will they serve me, or will they just talk about serving me? Will they move forward, or will they whine and complain and try to keep going back to the way things used to be in the good old days? Will they look through the lens? If I aim to please God and not man, and faithful, pastor wants to be faithful, and we need to be faithful. We got to have faithfulness. Come on, somebody. 1 Thessalonians tells us, faithful is he that hath calleth you, who also will do it. If God is faithful, we need to be faithful. We understand what the scripture says again in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, the word of the Lord tells us, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from the evil. When our faith has been tested multiple times, we see the blessings of God on the people that have been faithful, the people that got jobs that they never applied for, got promoted on their job over and over again, got hours, got more work than they know to do, have grown in their talents and their abilities before the Lord. It's because God blesses faithfulness. He blesses faithful. All the faithful people say amen. Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man shall have limited blessings.
Abound.
Ah, shall abound with blessings. Not the most popular, not the most talented, not the one that gives the most,
right,
but it's the faithful men and women that God blesses.
Amen.
If we can pass the test of faithfulness, you'll be blessed like never before.
Amen.
If there's ever been a time to be faithful, it's now.
That's right.
Pastor, why are you preaching this? Why? Because I believe in the Spirit. I believe the Lord is wanting to instruct us and to warn us. that we have all made vows, fresh commitments to the Lord in the last 15 months. And we are on the verge. Some of us are on the verge of some things taking place and changing in our community, in our world. And we cannot allow those promises and commitments and vows that we made to the Lord to take a back seat. Some of us have made, I will never underestimate the power of God. When I get to the church house, back in the building with my brothers and sisters, I'm going to be the first one to worship the Lord. I'm going to be the first one to invite somebody after they get their vaccine. I'm going to be the first one to do this, and I'm going to do that. I'm never going to take this. And we're on that verge of where there's going to be that temptation to take a little back seat, just kind of downshift a little. Okay, we can catch our breath. No, the devil is a liar. We are going to be faithful. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to love. I'm going to have devotion. I'm going to be holy. I'm going to do what's right. I'm not going to cut corners and take side roads of my relationship with the Lord. But he that endureth until the end, the same shall be saved. I want to be faithful. A faithful God needs us to be faithful. Not just offering givers, but faithful. Amen. Not just letting our light shine on Sundays, but letting it shine every day of the week. Come on, somebody. Well, sometimes there's testing before there's the blessing. And we've had a lot of talk, myself included. We've talked a lot about all kinds of stuff. And the Lord has finally, in my opinion, the Lord has finally got my generation and many of us here aligned with him, aligned with the word of God. There's been a shaking. There's been an awakening. There's been a revival that has taken place. But there's more to come, baby. There's more perilous times, but there's more revival times. There's more tough times, but there's more times for people to get saved and to get right before the door closes. And there's a testing that's coming. There's a blessing that's coming after the testing. I gotta hurry. Somebody say hurry. Notice our scripture text, John 6 and 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, says, there's a boy here that has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Andrew focused not on the financial calculations, but he was a realist. He focused on what was on hand. You know, he was the guy that would walk in and say, well, what do we have to work with? Oh, all we have is a sack lunch that we took from this dude, this little boy? Wow. It's not about the size.
No.
It's about releasing what we have and place it in the hands of God.
Yeah.
Let's be real here. We don't know the boy's name. We don't know what kind of fish it was. We don't know if it was sardines, salmon, fish sticks. We don't know. We know it was barley loaves. So, it was small. It wasn't even what we would consider the good stuff. But in the hands of the Lord, small, not the good stuff, with God, all things are possible. Come on, somebody. There's a lot of things that are working against us. Let's be real. There's a lot of stuff working against us. And this is a lot of stuff working against this situation in Scripture. But notice what Jesus says in Matthew 14, 18. He said, bring them hither to me. Bring me what you got.
Yeah.
And then he says in John 6 and 10, make the men to sit down. So the men sat down. We don't hear, not even in Luke's gospel. Luke's very descriptive in his writing. They don't say, why are we going to sit down for? What's going on? No, they sat down. They obeyed. The Lord spoke. They heard. And they responded in obedience. It would do a lot of us a lot of good that when the Lord speaks, we hear and we just do what the Word of God says. Love your neighbor. Well, I don't like them. I can't stand to look at. Well, tell them, if you wear your mask, I'll love you more and more and more. But regardless, the Bible says I gotta love you. I love you. I'm going to give you a fist bump. When I really want to punch you in the arm, I'm going to give you a fist bump. Because you know what? God gave me mercy today, and he loves me, and he forgives me, and I want to do right in the eyes of the Lord. I want to please God and not please man. They responded in obedience. He spoke the word, and the hearers responded. He was testing them so they can be blessed. It would do a lot of us a lot of good just to say, Lord, I trust you. I know I have control issues, but I cannot control the narrative of the Word of God. Because the Word of God is going to take place regardless. But how it takes place in my life is up to me. Come on, somebody. We know what the Bible says, but you know, I'm gonna believe the experts, you know. I'm gonna believe what my gut instinct, and some of us have a lot of instinct, like myself, but I'm just gonna go with the flow and kind of see what happens. Yeah, we know what going with the flow did for the people of Noah in Noah's time, but there was a testing, and Noah and his family got in the boat, and they were blessed, and we're here today because somebody heeded to the word of God. Can I tell you, our Jesus never fails. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I love this part. For the promise is unto you and to your children. Come on, somebody. That's what the Word of God said. We got to believe it and say, well, they don't look like they got much repenting taking place. How do you know? You can see inside their heart. No, Pastor, I just know people. Yeah, I know people too, but I also know my God. I know my Jesus never fails. Notice what happens. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. John 6 and 11 says, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Jesus intentionally used a small amount of food to authenticate his miracle. You know, you don't have to be a big shot millionaire to give.
No.
It's not about your ability. It's about our availability to him.
Right.
Like, the Lord knew what he had to work with.
Yeah.
It's not much. It wasn't much. He knew that the lunch wasn't enough. But in the hands of the Lord,
all right.
He's not just Jehovah Jireh of the Old Testament. He's still a God that provides. It's Luke that tells us, 1:37, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible with God. Tell your neighbor, nothing's impossible with God. We need to look at what's possible.
Yeah.
What's right?
Amen.
We got it. We have got. I'm coming after you with this. Look, we know what's wrong. You don't take us very far to see what's wrong in people, in society, in the economy. It don't take us what to find to see and point out what's wrong. But we are pilgrims. Tell your neighbor, I'm a pilgrim. Haven't had Thanksgiving yet, but I'm a pilgrim. We're just passing through. This world is not my home.
Right.
Come on, somebody. This is a testing for us. Come on, endure sound doctrine. Come on. We got a heaven awaiting us. We got more, we got reason more today than ever before to get to heaven. Because there's a whole lot of people that are not here with us in the flesh anymore, but they're in heaven. And if you ever want to see them again, you better make sure you get to heaven, because they're not coming back. We got to go to them. And we are in a testing because there's a blessing awaiting us. You look at what's right, that you're in the house of God, that he loves you, That you're forgiven.
Yep.
That you're saved.
Yep.
That God's not in a crisis and he's not in despair and he's not scared.
Nope.
But he's God all by himself.
Yeah.
The all-powerful God, the all-knowing God. And he tests us so he can bless us. And we have trials that squeeze things out of us.
Right.
You notice we make statements, and it's a great statement, and it's powerful. But when life gives you lemons, you make some lemonade.
Exactly.
Put some sugar in there and you're good. Right? But you have to press the olive to get the oil.
Yeah.
You gotta squeeze the orange or the orange to get the juice out of it.
Yeah.
Right? It's the constant aggravation that creates the pearl. Something on the inside taking place. It's the aggravation that takes place, right? It's the testing. It's if you can endure, you can endure. You don't appreciate the valley and the blessing after the valley unless you've been in the valley.
Exactly.
Come on, somebody.
Right.
Yeah, take some of us a lot of take a drive to Bakersfield in the next 3 days. Talk about what hot is, right, Brother Nichols? Come on, somebody. We get on the mountain time. We think it's supposed to stay on the mountain time, not realize that, hey, we got to come down. There's an in between the, you're not in a valley. You're just changing mountaintops, the songwriter says. We got to remember that there's a testing after, there's a blessing after the testing.
Right.
No day is perfect. All relationships have up and downs.
Right.
All of them. Every single one of them. No job is perfect.
Nope.
No church is perfect. This is going to surprise some of you. But no taco is perfect. But to the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes, to everything there's a season and a time and a purpose under the heaven. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. But many times we're looking at somebody's ending.
Yeah.
And we want the end, their ending. And God's saying, man, you're barely two steps in.
Yeah.
We look at their relationship with the Lord, and we look at what they've accumulated spiritually and financially. And we don't know how expensive it is for them to live how they live. The two and three jobs they had to work to get there, the saving. We've got that Amber Crombie mentality sometimes. And the Lord's saying, nah, you'll get your prime rib. I know you got prime rib taste, but right now you got a bologna budget. And you appreciate the bologna. And I'll give you the prime rib. Come on, you be faithful in the small things. Come on, somebody. You bring a praise singer here, and I'll make sure you be a worship leader out there. Come on, somebody. There's a testing that takes place in all of us. Somebody shout, I'm blessed.
I gotta hurry.
Well, they're hungry, though. Amen. Talking about bread and fishes, and everybody say, we gotta go eat. Amen. John 6:12 says, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of 5 barley loaves. There was a basket of leftovers for every disciple to be a testimony to everyone else by the goodness of the Lord. They're walking around with that basket in their arm. Everybody say, I wonder what's up with Peter walking around with that basket. Hey, you don't know like I know. You don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. You can't tell it like I can tell it. What God has done for me. When you see me down here praising the Lord and I got tears in my eye, it's not because I did something last night I wasn't supposed to. Ha! It's because the scripture says, enter in his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. and bless his name. Come on, somebody. When you see me with my hands lifted up, when you see me walking in the church house, I wish I had an organ. When you see me come in the church house and you see me get excited for Jesus, it's because the scripture said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us come to the house of the Lord. Somebody give God a praise. You don't know like I know what God is. You see the glory, but you don't know my story. Beyond the test is a blessing. Beyond the test is a, some of you been walking through some stuff. You're emotionally heavy right now. You're mentally distracted, and the Spirit is calling, and he's saying, you know what? You're in the middle of a test. It's only a test. It's not a test of the emergency broadcasting system. No, it's a test from heaven that's saying, if you just give it to me, put it in my hand, see what I can do.
Yeah.
It's a blessing.
Right.
There's a blessing. There's a blessing. There's a blessing. There's a blessing.
Right.
So we stand this morning. I got a question for you. Is God in what you have? Is God in what you have? Only you can answer that. You see in your plans. You see your daily bread. That's convicting. John 6 and 35 says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth, you gotta believe, shall never thirst. When you give God what's in your hands, you can inspect the incredible blessings of the Lord. It's Ephesians that tell us, unto him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we can ask, think, or imagine, according to the hours on our job. Right? The way some of us live, I'm all about hard work, trust me. But some of us are working, and you're cutting corners with your relationship with the Lord, and it's good for nothing.
Amen.
Pastor, I understand you got to work. You got to work hard. But there is a Sabbath. It was created for man. Come on, somebody. You need rest, spiritual rest. Not just a day off to sleep in and get projects done and honeydews and watermelons done and cantaloupe, whatever it is, got to get done. But it's rest, rest for the soul, rest for the spirit. And you can get rest every single day, even when you're working 100 hours in a week, because you get rest from the Word of God. Come on, somebody. He'll give you rest. Some are saying, you know, I know he heals the brokenhearted, but my situation is different, Pastor. I know he fed the multitude, but I'm just using you as an example. But I'm running a business in the middle of a pandemic. The Lord knows that.
Yeah.
Hello? You think that's hard for him? You know what's hard? You know what's hard? There's a lot of people in here right now. Look around. You know what's hard? The Bible says, all the hairs on our hair, our head, just in this room, that's hard. 7-8 billion people in the world. I know some of us make it easy for them, right? You cut all your hair off, but that's hard. You know what's hard? Taking one rib from one man, creating a beautiful lady as a helpmate. That's hard. Oh yeah, that's hard. You know what's hard? Calling the stars by name. That's hard. Difficult. Causing the waves to flow, birds to fly, keeping everybody breathing. That's hard. Nothing. Nothing. Times are different. But you know what's not different? the love, the power of God. It's not different.
Mm.
That's why the Bible says in Romans 8 and 28, and I close with this, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Does anybody here love God?
Amen.
Going to work together for good to them who are called according to His purpose. Anybody here called according to the purpose of God? Come on, somebody. It's going to work out if we put it in His hands. If you don't put it in His hands, I'm going to be the first one to tell you it's not going to work out. But if you put it in His hands, it's all good, baby. Come on. Come on. It's like Brother Emery would say, it's all gravy after that. It's all good. But we got to put it in His hands. So this morning, let's put it in His hands. The marriage, the sins, the lifestyle, the hurt, the finances. Come on, let's put it in His hands. The offended spirit, the sickness, the worry, the fear. Let's put it in the hands of the Lord. Let's give it to Him. Let's give it and see what He will do with it.